Tim. Ryan's hanging out with us this time, too, and Zach. Football podcast just wrapped up. You're going to find that on podbean.com. But if you want to check out this piece, it's just us hanging out for 20 minutes. The end of the football game's coming on. We're into the fourth quarter. So we're going to take that in, watch that, talk about it, and then maybe some other things that maybe hit us here at the end. So, guys, welcome back.
Yeah, good to be here. Like I never left.
We're back just in time for an extra point for the Jags to go back up 21-14.
Well, I saw, you know, just in talking about that Chenault stuff, like I ended up with McCaffrey, right? And those guillotine leagues are 18 teams. And so when you get McCaffrey, you don't pick again until 35. And that was, so I went up with a bunch of wide receivers. Well, now my running back's out, and I'm just grasping at straws. I'm starting Cordero Patterson and A.J. Dillon.
That's pretty dicey. I don't know how you feel good about that. But then again, it's 18 teams. But isn't that the league where you eliminate somebody every week? You
just can't so be each the worst week, team. Yeah, just can't be the worst team. So there's 15 teams left. And I've got my wide receivers are good. I've got CeeDee Lamb, Chris Godwin, Deebo Samuel, and LaVisca Chenault. You know, so like those are my wide receivers and flexes, and it's a PPR. So I feel okay. I don't think I'm the worst team. But we'll see. I want to stick around for a week or two here. Because then right after this week, I could conceivably pick up a running back off the team that gets cut.
That's right. Kind of a those guillotine leagues sound like they'd be kind of fun. I've never tried anything like that because I guess I'd hate to be the guy that goes out first because I feel like that would be a waste. But I don't know. Maybe that would be a kind of a fun thing to try.
Yeah, it was fun. You can buy insurance, Tim. You can get for $4 if you get bounced out in the first week, they let you get a free entry into another league. But I went out like week three last year and was kind of bummed. So I'm like, all right, I gotta try this again. But same thing, I had guys that were good, and then in game injuries kill you. Right, Michael Thomas gets hurt, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, now I can't even, my first round pick is gone, and I don't know. So it's fun. It's another way to play fantasy. That's kind of my rule. If I'm adding a team, it's got to be something different.
I think that's fair. Ryan, are you kind of a guillotine guy? You done a guillotine before?
Never done a guillotine league before. I've always wanted to kind of try it. I'm a big DFS player. I play a lot of DFS.
Yeah, I was gonna say you play a lot of daily stuff, don't you? I don't play any daily.
Yeah, I've been rolling the same $50 for the last 3 years. So,
oh, what a guy!
Every time we talk about this stuff, though, it just further pisses me off that we don't have gambling in the state, like that we just can't prop bet a game. I mean, how much more interesting would this game be if I could just bet something on it? Something on the money line, the over, anything. Be way more interesting.
Maybe we should do the Thursday night game over MEA from Diamond Joe's.
It's not the worst idea. I mean, I've heard bad ideas before. It's not the worst one.
If I didn't have to work Thursday nights, I'd be all in on that.
I mean, I've never been in Diamond Joe's. It looks like a sketch place. Is it nice? I've never been.
I have no clue. I've never been there either.
It is right. It's right across the border. I have to imagine more Minnesota people are there than Iowa people.
It's the closest sports book around. So
it's true. I mean, there's nothing.
Ryan, you don't get paid time off.
I don't get. I'm a contract worker, so I don't get PTO. If I take a day off, it gets deducted.
Well, that's horseshit.
You can't work remotely.
I can do that, but I mean it's 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. I have to have an internet connection, so wherever I'm at 10 p.m., I'm kind of stuck there.
He doesn't trust that spotty Iowa internet service, which I can't blame him. Can't blame him.
You can be back in the hotel room at 10. I'll be down at the craps table, so we'll be good.
Yeah, Ryan, you weren't going to contribute to that anyway. Don't worry about it. You were fine.
Yeah, right. There we go. That's a good point.
Maybe actually what you could do is we just hang out at Zach's house. You could just tap into his internet and hang out in the garage while Zach and I learn how to play. Why, Zach teaches me how to throw craps.
There you go. It could work.
Just take a spot in the corner of the garage. Might get a little chilly in the wintertime.
Is Jacksonville going to win this game?
They could. And if they did, boy, Herb might get a little chesty. I heard him say, like, somebody had quoted him as saying, like, God, this is difficult. It's more difficult. It's like playing Alabama every week. Well, no shit. No. Yes, exactly. What did you think? Did you think anybody was Coastal Carolina in this league? Like, how does this work?
What? They interviewed PJ Fleck. He'd say it's like playing Bowling Green every week.
I have to acknowledge, I've soured so much. It's the worst loss since the Brewster era. Brewster lost some bad games. Like, he really did, but that was the worst loss since.
What are they doing going for it on 4th and 1 from their own 29?
That's just hubris. It's good old-fashioned, like, we're just better than you, we'll get a yard, and I'm like, uh-oh.
And they were up, right? 6-0 or 7-0 at the time, or 3-0, I can't remember. They had the lead.
Yeah, they had a little lead.
They had the lead, and their defense had not given up a point.
Yeah.
Like, punted away. Because, right, it's risk-reward. I you know, like, I understand they did it earlier against Ohio State, right? And it worked out for them and stuff, but the difference there was they were down 14-0, and the game felt like it was getting away from them. They were in control of this one, right? They hadn't given up a point, and they let Bowling Green into the game by doing that. And all for what, right? Like, if you pick up a first down, you still got to go another 40 yards before you're in long field goal range. I don't know. It just seemed like an ass. I couldn't believe it. They called timeout and then came out and lined up to go for it again.
Yeah, and I do think Fleck's a decent coach. I really do. I think he understands football. And normally, like, they play a pretty sound game. That one just didn't make any sense to me at all. I thought it was just a baffling display. And like I said, nothing more than hubris. Like, it's just you you not respecting your opponent enough. And that's, you just can't have it. Like, you can't have it at this level. It's not good enough. It was, and you know, I understand that he apologized or whatever. He said the loss is on me after the end of the game, which is rightfully so. But still, like, you just have to, you got to know better. And problem is like, you got loyal fans who, like, want to support you. And there's a lot of people, though, who hate your guts. And all you did was give ammunition to the people who hate your guts. Doesn't make any sense. Not smart.
No, you're right. I don't think it is either. I mean, it's not just bad decisions. It's poor leadership, I think. I mean, you have to win that game, right? I mean, it is, not only is it, a game that you're expected to win, you're favored by 31.5 points, but it was homecoming. You know, you've got recruits coming in to watch that game. You've got people flying in to watch your team dominate that game, and you go out there and lose and lay an egg like that.
You paid $1.45 million to get that game.
Right. It's fiscally irresponsible, among other things.
You know, I will say there's something. It was kind of interesting today talking with my daughter about tennis, and she said it was different playing today being a heavy favorite. Because she's played a lot of games where she's probably not favored, or the team is not favored, and she's like, when you're in that situation, you have nothing to lose. It just goes up, right? It's the only way you can go. But if you're playing and you're expected to win, there's a lot more pressure. And so there's some of that in that too, right? Like, nobody expected Bowling Green to do anything, and then the longer they hung around, you know,
yeah,
it's that old adage. Their schedule was so weird. So for tennis, they played Park Center on Tuesday. And then today they have a crossover match with, you know, like, their conference has two divisions. So you play the team who finished in the same spot as you on the other side. So Tuesday they played Park Center. Today they played Park Center again. And now the playoffs start next week. And their first round playoff match is Park Center. So they literally will play them three times in a row.
A scheduling anomaly, I guess.
Yeah. So.
Good for you. Good for her, though, to play some, you know, to get out there and get some good solid action at the varsity level, right? I mean, She's really she's having a good season.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure she leads the team in wins. She's played most of the year at third or fourth singles, but the girl playing first singles is good. But she's overmatched at first singles, and she's only a freshman. So she's not winning a lot of matches. And I'm not saying that my daughter's the best player on the team, but she is leading them in wins. She's winning the matches that they're asking her to play. So.
Coaching. I mean, it's. I was trying to think about this today a little bit. There was something I was going to ask you about that, like coaching related, and kids related too, I guess you could say. But now I'm losing my train of thought. I'll let you know if it comes back. And then the thing, I haven't even been drinking yet. It's crazy. I'll come up with something. Ryan.
Yeah, man.
Where was I?
I'm just trying to get signed into work here.
I know. Where was I at? You needed to. That's where I need you to help me out. You need to keep my brain lined up and in tune, so that when I do things like this with Zach, I know what I'm going to say.
I mean, it's a great question. I don't know. I'm sorry. My login isn't working for work right now, and I'm trying to figure out if I've been fired.
Don't be fired.
I'm kidding. I haven't been fired. I'm not typing.
That would be breaking news on the podcast. That would be huge for the nightcap. That'd be a tough one for you to have to swallow on this particular pod. Oh, I know what this was, Zach. I was calling the game the other night doing girls soccer.
Yep.
I watched a team take the opening tap. Basically, one girl walked 50 yards down the field, scored 15 seconds into the game in soccer. Never seen anything like that. No resistance offered whatsoever. It was 5-0 at intermission. Now, here's the challenge. There's already running time in soccer. So how do we speed this up? They lost 9-1. How do we get that game to go faster?
That's rough. I don't know the answer to that. Like,
where are you on running time? Do we need to? Are you a running time mercy rule proponent? Do we need to have something like that in all sports?
In high school sports, yes. In high school sports, where teams do not get to pick their own games and you're at the mercy of what conference you're in, and right, when we see it some in our conference, right, like there are teams that are very good in some sports that are very bad in some other sports.
Yeah.
Right, and so right, I mean, we were talking Park Center earlier. It's one hell of a basketball team, guys and girls, every year. Baseball, they're terrible. You know, football, they're pretty bad. So I do think that having something like that in place is good. I understand why some people complain about it, right? It reduces some of the playing time, but you're not getting the right experience when that's going on anyway.
I was just sitting there watching the game going, what can we do to end this game? Like, it is, I mean, at one point it was 9-0. Like, they were able to get a goal with, like, 5 minutes left to make it 9-1. But I'm sitting there going, they're on goalie number 3. The players are getting, like, you could see there was just no life in the team. Like, when do we get to throw a white flag and get off that game?
Yeah, I wonder if you could, you know, just say if the score gets to a certain point, it's over.
That would have to be what it is, right? You can't, because, I mean, obviously, if there's no running time, or the running time's already there, yeah, you almost have it's like baseball, where you get a 10-run rule after 5.
Yeah. What if, you know, I'm always interested to see what the winning team does in those situations. Are they getting other kids in? Are they trying different things? What is their approach? Because it happened in softball last year. We had two conference teams, and one of them beat the other conference team by like 20. Right, it was like a 3-inning game, and they beat them by 20 runs. And I just thought, like, that is the reason that I hate this school. You know, you can guess who it was that put up the 20.
I can guess.
And I'm like, you know, because there are things you can do, right? Like, we played we completely were we were a much better team than playing Columbia Heights this year. But due to some of the COVID stuff and cancellations, we ended up with a game with them. But man, I had my whole JV team there, and they were in the game in the first inning when it was 5-0. Right? Like, we got up 5-0, we dumped the whole bench right away. Right? So, I mean, I could have won that game 35-0 if I wanted to. But there's no point in that. Like, what's, you know, what are you doing? So, I think there's always ways. There's always ways for teams to pump the brakes and work on development for other kids, or, you know, give other kids an opportunity. You know, I think we had like 3 or 4 kids make their first varsity game, you know, play in the first varsity game. We had a bunch of kids get their first hit. You know, I had a senior get her first hit. So, like, things like that you can do for kids, and I think that's what you have to do if you're in a high school situation like that. Right? The winning team should have played 3 goalies.
I agree. I think they played 2. I think they put their other one in the second half and they played it out or whatever, but
yeah.
I just was like watching this game and I just like, A, it's brutal to call. Like, as you're sitting there 1 hour 40 minutes and you're trying to make things up and you're trying to talk about different things and you're trying to keep things interesting. I mean it got so bad we were literally playing Top Gun references. Like, we were like, me and the color analyst were like basically making one Top Gun reference after another. We tried to see how many we could name in like 5 minutes. And then the music, the guys in the truck started playing the music underneath our broadcast. That's how bad it was getting. So, like, oh my God, we got to fill time. How the hell is this going to work?
Yeah. And then,
board up shop and go home.
You know, luckily for you, you have a relationship with some of those kids. Like, you know them.
Yeah.
And can talk about other things about them.
Yeah, which helps.
That's the real hard thing, right? Like, sometimes those high school announcers, they're not super familiar with the kids, and they don't know where to go with it.
That was kind of my that was sort of the situation that I knew enough, and that's the problem. I didn't know enough about the winning team, so there wasn't anything I could work with. So mine was the losing team, and so it was kind of like, oh, we're getting crushed. But that girl's nice. Ah, they're a sweet kid. Hey, they wear green cleats. That's what ended up happening. It's not my best day, I gotta admit.
You're not sending that one into ESPN?
I don't believe I'm getting a call anytime soon for that one. Maybe for other stuff. I did get rave reviews last night though for my call of the Powder Puff football game.
You're a saint.
Thank you. I felt like a saint last night. I must admit. You know, it wasn't terrible, but, I mean, it looks like the guys are having fun with it, and the girls are having fun with it, and that was nice. But as far as, like, there weren't a lot of plays. It was basically quarterback's going to run it, running back's going to run it, or the running back's going to run it and pitch it to the other running back. Or they would occasionally run some sort of flea flicker thing, which ended up always being a disaster. My favorite they put the quarterback in the shotgun, and the long snap would always be like a knuckleball moon ball that goes like 8 feet in the air. Like, it had USSSA softball arc on every one of those. That was my favorite.
I always crack up because the guys talk about all the plays they're going to run and the schemes they're going to run. And I'm like, guys, you guys are practiced like 3 times for 40 minutes and nobody's gonna be paying attention anyway, right? And so I'm like, do not. I'm like, literally,
you can barely get you idiots to run a whole scheme for a whole season's worth of practice. Right, how do you think you're gonna do with this?
I'm like, hey, if you guys want to be good, run option, because everyone will chase the quarterback and then she'll pitch it, and then you're your other girl should be gone. Like, really, there's no. The other schemes, the other plays, they just don't work.
We're going to run wing T for Powder Puff this year.
You almost have a better chance if you do run wing T. I mean, one team basically ran 3 plays. They just did the same thing over and over again.
Well, I think when we, like, I mean, this is going back 20 years now, but when we helped coach it, we honestly ran our offense just like you would run the scout team offense. right? We held up a book, right? You know how you'd hold up the book in the huddle, right? And it's got lines drawn where everyone's going.
Yep.
So we literally had like a notebook full of plays, and we'd rip the page out and hand it to the girl who was subbing into the game, and she'd run into the huddle and hold it up, fold it up, put it in her pocket, and then we'd run it. And that's, I mean, that's how we called our plays. We just drew them on a piece of paper before every play.
That's gold.
I tried to explain to, I think that's actually the best way to do it, to be honest with you. I tried to explain to the girls when they were asking me about playing, and I said, like, we only had like two practices, we don't know what to do, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, has anybody ever played a little backyard football with friends or family or anything like that? And they're like, no. I'm like, you know, most guys show up to a tackle football game with friends, and they don't have no damn plays. You get in the huddle, and you sit there on your hand, and you say, you run 5 yards and go to the right. You run 5 yards and come back. You run 10 yards straight. I'm going to try to hit one of you three that pops open. It's like, just draw it up in the dirt. This isn't that complicated.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of times, too, we did stuff where, like, everybody ran the same route. So if you had, right, if you went, you know, 2x2 with your wide receivers, all four of them ran slant. Or you'd have four hitches or four verts or whatever, because then you weren't, you didn't have to teach who's the quarterback reading, who's doing, you know, just throw it in there. So
I kind of had fun with it last night. I got to admit, I had more fun with it than I thought I would last night. Because obviously I just get to goof off and make a bunch of references that nobody gets. And I just tried to make the crowd laugh a couple, three, four times. I felt like if I did that, I did my job. But it was fun. It was, again, when you start thinking about like normal activities and things that feel normal, it was sort of fun to have a kind of a normal feeling activity. Like I enjoyed that. But here's the problem. I did well. I'm going to be asked to do it now probably every year for the rest of my career.
Probably.
Damn it. There's just no way around it once you get started.
You messed up, right? It's just like the first time your girlfriend asks you to do the laundry. You shrink her sweater, and you'll never have to do the laundry again.
This is the kind of stuff I need to be hearing. We should almost change the nightcap to like Zach's advice corner. Like that's what it should just be, because this is the stuff I haven't learned. My part of it is like my gal won't let me wash her clothes. Like that's done. She handles all of her own. Just like she doesn't.
Probably,
wash any
but that's probably why.
Yeah. Well, there you
right?
go.
She's worried about you. You're messing something up.
Yeah, dumbass. She'll know that.
I've been cajoled into doing the laundry while I work overnights here, so that's my task when I'm working.
Do you ever just throw it all in, or do you actually separate the lights and the darks?
Well, I separate the lights and the darks because then if I don't do it right, like I'm gonna be spending another $160 on bras.
But that's the part that doesn't get me.
False. Throw it all in together, wash it on cold.
Yes. Because, again, first of all, she's never showing her bra. So who the hell cares if the color's different on that bra anyway? Does that matter?
It you would be surprised how much it matters, I guess. I've asked the same question.
Who's going to see it besides you?
Well, she will, and that's the response that I get.
When is she going to see it after she puts it on and throws a shirt on?
Look, man, I don't know. I just do what I'm told.
Well, see, now you're starting to figure it out.
That's my advice I gave to the kids in class. Like, first, like early on, I always tell stories about the wife and married life and all that. I always just say, guys, I want to just tell you something. The answer is always yes. It's always yes. My philosophy is very simple when it comes to marriage. Yes is the answer. What is the question? So when wife comes to me and says, I want a tattoo, yes. I want to go out with the girls on Saturday night, yes. I want to go out on Friday night too, yes. The answer is always yes, never no.
And well, it helps then. She can't complain about the golf game.
Can't. And you know
when
what?
When you're saying yes to everything.
Never says no to a round of golf because I say, hang on a minute. I have a pretty strict no philosophy. Like it is, I'm like, name one time I've said no and she can't do it. And then that's it. So yes is the answer. What is the question?
I'll tell you, my, My other one I've realized too is you have to have an opinion. Right, when she says, "Oh, which of these three paint samples do you like better?" and you don't really care, you still just pick one.
And the truth is, you don't really care.
Right.
The worst is when you get to the point where you say, like, where you just pick one, and she's like, "Did you even look at those? Do you even care about those?" So you got to fake like you're thinking about it too. So it's, you just take it in for just like 5 seconds.
Here's the deal. She's still gonna pick the one she wanted anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So you give it a three Mississippi, and then you just say, yeah, the beige one in the middle.
This is the key that I wish, if there's any young guys listening to this podcast, the thing that I wish that they would learn is she's not asking you for your opinion. She's asking so that she has extra time to think about what it is that she wants.
She also wants you to care.
Yeah. She wants to involve you.
My problem is I can't tell the difference oftentimes between the three samples. Like, she's like, oh, no, this is, like, this color. It's a different kind of green. This is a different green. This is a different green. They're all green. Like, they all look the same to me. Like, there's very subtle differences. I can't tell. So just go with it.
Yeah, no, these are the types of things we try to impart on some of our football guys, too. Some of this knowledge off the field.
These are the old things, the old tricks in the book that these guys aren't going to have to learn because we're passing down the knowledge, you know?
100%. Nobody sat there and told me, you know, nobody told me to be a yes man. But it's like, no, be a yes man. Avoid confrontation at all cost.
Yep. The other one I passed on the other day is one of the guys was talking about his shirt was wrinkly or something. And I'm like, well, you just throw that in the dryer with a wet washcloth for like 10 minutes. He's like,
yeah,
what?
And
I'm like,
absolutely.
Yeah, just throw it in there, it'll steam right out. And like, we call that bachelor ironing.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm a big proponent of just throw it in the dryer for 15 minutes, we're good. Yeah, I'm a big proponent of that. That's, you know, my old man used to hang it on a fan at, like, he'd put it on a doorknob next to a fan at night. And that thing would be perfect in the morning. It's like these little things. You're not seeing it clearly. Bengals driving for the win, by the way.
Joe Burrow looks pretty good so far.
Yeah, remember all that talk in preseason about, oh, Joe Burrow looks like he's lost. Like, oh, it's terrible and blah, blah, blah.
Remember, he was coming off an injury, only got half of a rookie season, you know, and it was probably rushing back a little bit with the knee. So I think, you know, this – If they win here and they're 3-1, right, that's a hell of a start for them. I don't know that they can sustain it, but.
This is what I wanted to see, though, out of Trevor Lawrence. Like, just a good, solid game where you play pretty well, don't make a lot of mistakes, give your team a chance. Like, that's a good sign for them going forward, even if they lose.
I love when teams do this. Like, they're sprinting to get up to the line before the two-minute warning, and everybody knows they're not going to snap it. They're just trying to draw them off.
It's a classic move. You're just trying to pick up five more free ones.
Who does Anoka have this week?
Moundsview in the homecoming game.
We have the dreaded bye week.
Yeah, how does that feel for you? Have you adjusted yet? We talked about this a little last week. Like, what will you do with your time? Like, what are you going to do tomorrow night? You going to go watch a game?
So we originally had discussed possibly going to watch Andover. But they play in Buffalo, which is, you know, a hike. Last I looked, the weather was questionable. So we're like, well, worst case, we can just watch it. Like, every game is streamable now. But it's also Carter's birthday. So tomorrow night we're having the family over for pizza and stuff. And then we'll figure it out after that.
Sounds like a good time. Carter, well, he's getting, what is he now, 14?
He will be 14, yep. Wow.
My goodness. Time is flying on you, boss.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now we're approaching, like, Brooke's taking the ACT next week, and you know, we're getting all that college stuff coming up now here too, as a junior. So it's makes you feel old.
Oh, I'm just reading. This is the stuff I've been waiting for. Now that the Ryder Cup is over, you're hearing all the nasty stuff that the Euros think of the Americans. I was waiting for these articles. Oh, Shane Lowry sounds off on U.S. Ryder Cup players in post-match interview. Cantlay pissed me off on the eighth hole when I'm lining up my putt and he's riling up the crowd. Listen, you assholes do that in Europe all the time when you're winning. It's just they always piss and moan when they lose, and it's always these crass Americans, and then they act like such assholes when they win. I don't understand it. Like, just take your ass whooping and go home.
Hey, by the way, Miami goes down to Virginia tonight on a last-second missed field goal, just completely shanked it off the upright.
Miami's been terrible this year.
Miami sucks. Yeah, they really.
I like when Miami's good, but man, you know, they are not even close.
Boy, they've got this Azuma tight end going for Cincinnati right now. He's caught like a couple of big balls here. Miami is like a weird thing because you feel like they should be okay, but at the same time, like, they're getting by on name only. They don't have a great facility that they play out of. They don't have a lot of that infrastructure stuff that I think, like, Florida State's talked about this too, that there's just like, it's not the same stuff that other schools have and they're behind.
But that's what Jimbo said to them, and they shoot him out of there.
Yeah. Now they're starting to see it. Like, oh man, nobody can win here. This is a problem. But I'm starting to worry that Miami might be one of those programs that, like, is like they had their run and now it's over.
Like, well, let's say, yeah, that might just about do it here in the Bengals game. That catch and run.
That could be it. And since
I don't know, Ryan, are you still way behind us?
Yeah. I'm on 2nd and 14 at the 47-yard line.
Yeah, well, okay, so what's the next play?
They've got little CJ Azuma action. 5 catches, 95, and 2 tutties. Look at this guy.
You know, I've never really understood the tight end screen. I get it. Like, I'm watching it, and I see that it works right there. But I don't understand why you put that in the hands of your tight end.
The difference there, though, was he wasn't lined up at tight end.
That's true.
Right, he was spread out wide.
Yeah, I suppose.
Is there a better screen team than the Vikings year in and year out? I feel like I could say that like all the way back through the 90s.
They run screens really well.
I feel like they're like that every year.
Yeah.
It helps that they usually have a pretty good running back.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that always helps. So.
But even then, they always invest in receivers too who can do different things. Like, you know, receivers that are good possession guys and or speed guys that can make people miss. All right, McPherson.
Well, see, now Tim's ahead of both of us.
All right, I'm going to stay quiet. I won't say nothing until you see it.
All right.
Critical moment here, though, everybody.
They just ran the ball on first down. So on my screen, there's 10 seconds left.
All right.
Yeah, I'm gonna bet that he makes a field goal and that this is the end of the game. But I'm gonna bet.
It's not a far one.
Yeah, this is. I was kind of hoping there might be a little more drama than that, but you know, let's just get out of here with a good game. Move the Jags to 0-4. Let's go.
I won't say anything.
He's just jogging on the field now. Is Herb going to call a timeout, too?
I don't think Herb has any.
Well, on my screen, he's got one.
Oh, yeah, mine, too. He's just jogging out of the field for me, too.
Well, I have the result. So I'll sit on it while you guys watch this.
Well, we're happy for you.
Well, everybody listening's got the result as well.
That's fair. But that takes the drama away, see?
Hey, I'll tell you what, it's another competitive Thursday night game.
Yeah, they've been good. Even with some bad teams, we've had some good games.
And next week is supposed to, it's good team, right? Isn't it like Seattle and Los Angeles?
Could be. I think you're right.
All right. I got to wrap up here.
All right. Kick is good. Nice win for Cincy. They take care of business. Well done. Yeah. Hey, guys, I enjoyed the night camp. This was a fun one.
Herb is 0-4.
For sure. Yeah.
We'll do this one again next week. Thanks for the night camp, everybody. We'll see you later.
See you.
Sounds good.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Keep your head up, everybody. See you later.